T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff, can you describe the emotions that you may go through tomorrow coaching against Coach K?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be weird. I mean, when I walk out there for the first time, I'm sure it'll be weird. First of all, that's the jersey that I wore. It's you have so many relationships with the kids that are playing, the guys that are playing there now, coaching a lot of them, and then during the recruiting process with all the freshmen, getting to know them. And then with Coach, he means so much to me. I've had a relationship with him since I was 16 years old. I committed to play at Duke when I was 17. It was April of my junior year. And, I'm 43, a little bit less than a month away from 44. And I tell people when I was 16, 17 years old, I believed in him. And I swear by him now because I know him. I know who he is. I know the kind of man that he is, the impact that he's had on my life, and the impact that he's had on the lives of everyone that has worn that jersey. He's special. And, I miss him. I miss our interactions. I miss our, having a chance to be around him every day to soak in the knowledge. Once it's tipped up, then, we'll get after it. But it will be a little bit surreal walking out there and being on the opposite sideline of him.
Jeff, you recruited a good bit of helped recruit a good bit of those guys in the starting lineup. After you took the pit job, did you think to yourself, oh, my goodness, what did I get myself into? I got to coach against these guys now?
Not really. I'm happy for him. I mean, all those kids made the right decision to go to Duke and to have an opportunity to play for him, to play for Coach K, and to wear that jersey. It was the absolute right decision, and I root for him. I won't root for him tomorrow, but other than that, I'm as big a fan as there is of that program and of that team and of those guys because I know them. They're all very special, great kids, and they're having an outstanding season. And it looks like in watching them play is in preparation for this game, it looks like they really enjoy playing with each other. And that's the sign of a really, really special team.
So that team, Jeff, and that freshman class, maybe one of the things that, as you were weighing whether or not to take this job and leave Duke, was that maybe one of the things during that decision-making process that, that I guess maybe made it tougher to leave that program?
I certainly thought about, we felt like when I was there, we felt like that we had a chance to have a special team, a very unique team, because those four freshmen, they're all really, really good, and they fit together. And they had a great relationship. And so certainly, I thought about that. But it wasn't anything that made it difficult. It's something that I thought about, but one of the things that my dad always taught me, when you're making decisions like this as far as career, at times you have to remove personal stuff from it and think about what's best for you and your family. And that's what I did. So, again, I miss certain things about it, but I'm excited for my journey here and what we're trying to do here. Like I mentioned earlier, the thing that I probably miss the most is the relationship with Coach and being there with him. But certainly, I knew we all felt like when I was there, we had a chance to have something special, and they've certainly done that so far this year.
How does your knowledge of those guys help in your game planning for tomorrow night's game?
It helps some, but it doesn't really help a lot. It helps some in the fact that some of the plays they run, I know. I know the calls for them, and I know, a little bit of what they're trying to accomplish on it. But, like the great Mike Tyson said, everyone has a game plan until you get hit. And so you have a game plan until you get out there. And, it's one thing to walk through and go through and practice trying to simulate Zion. There's no one on earth that can simulate that. And, you know, so, it helps a little bit, but not really.
That Mike Tyson quote you just referenced there, is that a little bit at play up in the Carrier Dome the other day based on, like, a lot of what your guys said to us, they don't rely on too many threes. They end up taking a lot of threes. And
yeah.
Don't get thrown off by the dome, and then maybe that came into play. Is that kind of what took?
Yeah, it is. I mean, with us, it's just, like, it's hard for us to simulate certain things. And for Syracuse, it was such, you know, for us, for our team, you know, it's such an odd game because not many people have played us a lot of zone this year. That's one. And no one can play it like them. And so as much as you try to prepare, you don't. And then you can't prepare for a place like the Dome. And so I think that played a little bit into it. And then our youth and inexperience played a lot into it.
I might be remembering this a little bit out of context and how you said on your coach's show, but made a reference last week with Bill about one really bad year at Duke. I can't remember what season it was.
Sophomore.
Your sophomore season. You had like two wins in the conference or something like that. That is close to a rebuild as Duke has had to do that next season. And did Coach K kind of use that at all in speaking to you when you took over for this gig here?
No, he didn't have to because we had talked about it, you know, during my time there back as an assistant, and even when I played, I mean, I lived through it. And, you know, as a freshman, we are within a minute of winning the national championship. It's a tie game with a little bit over a minute left, and, you know, Scotty Thurman hits a three. And you think, as a freshman, you know, that was the seventh time in 9 years Duke had been to a Final Four. And I remember after that game being crushed, but thinking once I got back to the hotel, you know, we'll have another opportunity. And during the rest of my 3 years there, we never came close. You know, the being 2-14 at Duke is the equivalent of being 0-whatever in this league. And it's a big microscope there. Like, you're under a lot and the players feel it. It gets really heavy very quickly. And so those last 2 years, I think what we learned as guys that wore the jersey, we had to fight again, just like Dawkins and Allery and Billis. Those guys had to fight to get the program going when Coach lost when he first got there. They had to fight. You had to go through hard things, and you had to remember that. And so I learned that lesson as a player. You know, my junior year, we were less talented than we were when I was a sophomore, and we started out 0-4 in the conference. So we had gone through a 20-game span where we were 2-18. But we fought. We understood how much we needed each other. You know, we didn't have the most talent, but we fought every game. And we finished that year 8-8, and we made the tournament. And then the next year, we added 5 new pieces, 3 freshmen and 2 guys that were sitting out, and we won the ACC. Again, not the most talented. We were small. We were really small. You know, we went on our run, but we were together. You know, we learned how to fight. And because of that, they were able to get a class of Elton Brand, William Avery, Shane Battier, and Chris Burgess, who was the number one player. And then it kind of took off again from there. And so when I went back to Duke to work, you know, again, I talked to Coach about those things. I asked him, like, you know, when you came back, what was your thought? Like, how, you know, when you were out, like, what? And he talked about, you know, you had to reestablish that. You had to learn. You know, maybe the program had gotten a little bit spoiled. And sometimes success can make you soft. And you had to go through those lessons again. And so he didn't talk to me about it when I took this job, but it's something that I knew that we were going to have to do.
When you see, like, the Syracuse players coming out and talking about that exact thing, how much you guys fought, like, they're falling all over themselves, praising you guys for how much you fought, even though the game was getting away in the second half. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that foundation has coalesced here?
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, I didn't know that they did that. That's pretty cool to, you know, to hear them do that, or to say that, to hear that they did that. Again, I can see it. I know what's happening. And, you know, we are a team for the most part. Every game this year we fought. We haven't been smart at times, and you know, we've done some things that leaves me and probably a lot of people scratching their heads. But the one thing is that I think for the most part, I think we've played hard.
What opportunity is there for your team tomorrow, having the number one team in the country in your building?
Well, we have an opportunity to win. We have an opportunity to, you know, to beat against, you know, to beat an outstanding team, to compete against, an outstanding team to see where we are against, I think, the model program in all of college athletics, and to see where we are. I mean, again, I know we have a long way to go, but, you know, you always want to try to measure yourself against the best. And so we'll have that opportunity tomorrow.
Zion is 6'8 or 6'7, almost 300 pounds. He handles the ball very well. He goes to the boards very well. What do you tell your defenders about him?
You know, it's a lot. I mean, he's really, really special. He's such a unique player and in such a unique body. You know, in my time, I've never seen it. I've never seen a guy like that. And so, you know, you have to try as much as you can to keep him away from the basket. And that's what I mean. All that stuff is easier said than done. You got to try to block him out. You know, you got to try to make him a contested jump shooter. You got to try to keep him from getting to the basket. You know, he can do it in so many ways. He can get a defensive rebound and push it and get there. You know, he had one of the best plays I've seen from anyone in the Virginia game, where he literally went through four guys and dunked it on the fourth with an and one. And so it's hard. I mean, he's such a special player and such a special talent.
Did you know Zion was going to be this much of a sensation right away? Not just in terms of the production, but like the highlights, the NBA hype, all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you knew that when we recruited him. You know, he had already amassed such an amazing following because of his highlights in high school and how exciting he was. I think the thing that was lost in all of it was how good of an actual player he is. I think people just thought of him as this athlete, he's just this freak athlete. You know, when we watched him, we thought he was a really, really good player. He has an amazing feel for the game. He's a really, really good passer and loves to pass. And it's just so much that he can do. So I'm not surprised. I think he picked the absolute best place because, you know, it's basically like an infomercial every day for him, you know, on ESPN. And he's earned it because it's not like, you know, he's come and he hasn't lived up to the expectation. I think he's exceeded every expectation. And then the thing that makes it unique also is that he's such a great kid. You know, I think one of his greatest strengths, and it's a lot, I think he's an amazing teammate, just watching him and how genuinely excited he gets for other guys doing stuff. You don't see that from young people a lot. And certainly for a guy that has been under the scrutiny that he's been under for a while. And to remain that type of kid, that's pretty special. And that's, you know, a compliment to his mom, his stepdad, his people around him, and certainly the people that he's around there at Duke now.
Jeff, how have you seen them adjust without Trae Jones one game against Syracuse? I know, and then Virginia, I know that Mike said that he thinks he's the most important player on their team.
You know, I'm not surprised about what they did against Virginia. You know, to me, that's when coach is at his best, and he had days to prepare. And so I knew they would have a great game plan and come up with something different that would be unique to them. You know, they're still, look, anytime you can have out there R.J. Barrett, you know, Zion Williamson and Cameron Reddish, you know, you're talking about three of the most talented players, maybe the most talented players in the country. And then you surround them with, you know, Bolden and Jack White has gotten better and Delaurier and things like that, where those guys can just play a role and be really good at their role and allow those three guys to kind of be the guys. You know, you're still really good. I think probably the biggest area where they miss him. Now, don't get me wrong, they miss him. You know, defensively what he does, and then he's the guy that kind of sets them up and allows them to just to – you know, just to be them. They have to take on some different roles in the Virginia game, but they're still really, really good.
You had talked earlier, Jeff, about your sophomore season at Duke and how going 2-14 there is a sort of akin to going 0-whatever elsewhere. I mean, you know, how much more did that sort of allow you to empathize with your guys who were on the team last year, and how much did that sort of inform you as you guide them? Out of that kind of love.
Yeah, you know, I talked to him about it. And the thing that I talked to him about is that we have to fight. Like, it's not going to be given. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for you. We have to fight. And we have to earn the right to be good. And you have to go out and beat people. You have to take. And so, you know, you can't feel sorry for yourself. I think I felt like when I first got here that the returning, I thought they felt sorry for themselves. And there were excuses about different things. And so we talked about that right away. Like, no one cares. The bottom line is that you were what you were. And how do you change it? It's not just going to change just because there's a new coach. Like, you have to change it with your mindset, your approach, how you work, you know, the accountability, the demands, the investment, all of those things. And those are things we talked about right away and we tried to implement right away. And we've taken the necessary steps, and we're continuing to do that. And we'll continue to fight, and we'll see where that leads us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.